And there will be more bathrooms, which is a plus. It has been suggested the museum build a sky bridge between the buildings instead. To my mind, that just replaces one maze with another. A maze with a view, but still an impediment. Plus, without a new pavilion, the problem of overcrowded access would remain. The current entrances are cramped and inefficient. The pavilion will provide a spacious, easily accessible entry. Besides more room for admissions, it'll be a meeting place for docent tours, for film festival attendees, or school groups. Currently, they all jostle for space in the confined courtyard entrance. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Judith Marks, and I'm an art museum member. I wholeheartedly support the art museum's plan to make the inside of the buildings barrier-free. Leveling the upper floors and linking them will make visits more convenient. But I still have strong reservations about closing Madison. I chose my residence after reviewing the city's future plans with the idea that my deteriorating breathing would best be managed by living near the streetcar and having access to a car and pollution-free Madison and the park blocks. I may be handicapped, but my COPD has not made me stupid. I am concerned that once PAM has their building, it will only be a matter of time before they are complaining of the burden to provide security when the museum is not open. At the very least, I would feel more comfortable if the times included in the 1984 ordinance, which you've already done, so I'll skip that, were included. A true compromise would be to build above and leave Madison open. Ironically, the city's design guidelines recommend, though don't prohibit, against sky bridges in favor of having pedestrians with their eyes on the streets. Yet a sky bridge here would allow all commuters, dog walkers, strollers, lunch eaters, bicyclists, runners, people with walkers and in wheelchairs, the hundreds of folks who use this level right-of-way every day to remain at street level and keeping the museum and neighborhood safer. This would also be consistent with the 2035 comp and central city plans that show the two Madisons as open easements. They are links in the proposed Green Loop, the pedestrian bicycle trail around the east and west sides of the central city that also connects the Hawthorne Bridge with the streetcar system. Again, I ask you to vote against a building across vacated Madison. If the museum really wants and needs a new entrance, please send them back to the drawing board to come up with a design that is a win-win. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you. Next three, please, Carla.
Are Ivan Gold, Grace Serbu, and Ellen Vanderslice, and they'll be followed by Doris Ennis, Sylvia Lurie, and Ann Barkley.
Mr. Mayor and Commissioners, good afternoon. I'm Ivan Gold. I've lived in Portland since 1971. I think I have some direct experience with some of the access and usability issues involved here. I live in the Elliott Tower. I was a past chairman of the Elliott Tower. I'm a patron of the museum. I'm also directly involved with Cedars-Sinai Park, which is supported access facility for elderly people, and also has four subsidized housing buildings right in the vicinity of the museum itself, involving about 450 residents. However, I stress that I'm speaking today only for myself. We know how important the museum is, but we also have to acknowledge that its current buildings are physically difficult and confusing, even for those of us without mobility issues. The stairwells, the ramps in odd locations, the large and the very slow freight elevators, the hidden restrooms present unacceptable barriers to anyone with mobility issues, and I'm specifically thinking about the people who visit from Cedars-Sinai Park or from the low-income housing buildings on tours, and fundamentally stating the current museum does not work for visitors on crutches, with walkers, or in wheelchairs. The museum's privately funded proposals would remedy these issues and dramatically improve its physical presence. The museum's been willing to accommodate the reasonable requests of its neighbors accustomed to the passageway. However, the improvements can't be realized without the Rothko Pavilion, and the Rothko Pavilion cannot be realized without the change in the ordinance. Minor inconveniences to a few cannot be allowed to obstruct major improvements for all. I respectfully ask the council to approve the proposed ordinance.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
My name is Grace Serbu. I, too, live in the Elliott Tower across the street from the museum, and I'm a trustee of the museum and a patron. As a frequent visitor, I see a lot of folks who are baffled or lost. Although security personnel are in every room and they're very helpful, many people new to the museum find it hard to navigate the two very difficult and poorly connected buildings. Some folks have said that the proposed passage would be a psychological and physical barrier because it encloses the alley. I strongly disagree. The way it is now, it is not well lit or secure. It has corners and objects that allow someone to hide behind. It is not as secure as a enclosed passage. It does offer seating to those looking for a place to hang out or do drugs, especially on the 10th Street side, on the back side of the Mark Building. So a passageway, well lighted and secure, would be a welcome addition. I personally choose to walk on Jefferson Street when it is dark and I'm alone. That side is lit and well and safe. Some say that they like the idea of a constricted tunnel, but that defeats the benefits of a lighted and secure but open and welcoming space. Inconvenience to a few in the neighborhood should not defeat the benefits to all visitors, most of which are not from this local neighborhood. We tend to forget, I think, the huge number of visitors to Portland and the museum who live in the rest of Oregon and internationally. Visitors to our fair city depend on us to get things right, to help them get around. Let's not let them down. So I support the passageway. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners. I'm Ellen Vanderslice, and as a longtime advocate for walking, I'm here today to oppose this amendment. I believe it contravenes the adopted 2035 Comprehensive Plan's policy to maintain and expand Central City's highly interconnected pedestrian system. I fully support improved access between the main building and the Mark Building of the Portland Art Museum. And access could actually be improved today if the museum simply opened the door to the Mark Building that faces on the existing public walkway. The access control that would be required is no different from what will be needed at ground level in the event the Rothko Pavilion is constructed as proposed, when access to both the main and Mark Buildings would pass through an unsecured but enclosed pavilion. I support direct connection of the floors, above ground floors of the two museum buildings, and I appreciate that the hours that the pavilion would be open have been extended in this proposal. But an enclosure at the ground level that moves the public passage indoors and raises it 4 feet, I learned today, so that you have to climb up to it, fundamentally changes and diminishes the public nature of the connection in a way that no design and no signage can mitigate. It's not in the public's interest to release our claim to the unencumbered passage that we have enjoyed for decades. And finally, I just want to mention that at the hearing in April, Commissioner Fish raised the possibility of enhancing Southwest Main Street as a corridor for walking and bicycling. And if you do choose to adopt this amendment, I respectfully request that you also direct the relevant agencies to proceed with just such an enhancement. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you, for your testimony. That's a wonderful hat you're wearing. Thank you.
Next three are Doris Ennis, Sylvia Lurie, and Ann Barkley, I believe is the Ann is the first name, on Westdale.
Good.
And they'll be followed by Louisa Geyer, Joan Kirsch, and Bruce Morrisman.
Excellent. We're glad to hear that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon and welcome.
Yes, I'm Doris Ennis, and my issue here is so different from everything else everybody's been talking about that it feels that I'm not speaking in the same language. But anyway, I'm 93 years old, and I have been a volunteer at the Art Museum for 43 years. And on Mondays, when I go, I've only been handicapped for the last year. And so now when I go on Mondays there, when it's closed to the public, I find that only place open in the Belushi building is the loading dock. And to go up the loading dock, you have to walk up stairs. And there are about eight stairs. And then you go by a microphone and you identify yourself. And then you're allowed in. Well, I can't do that anymore. But there is a ramp that takes you around the back. And like somebody spoke about before, it has some stairs that go up it to the west, some steep stairs that somebody fell down. And so anyway, I go around the ramp there and go to the side entrance, which is all glass doors, but there's no one to let me in. And here I have a Max a driver there, the wheelchair lift program there. And I have this person wheeling me up there and then standing in front of a door that nobody's there to let you in. And so there's no way to get in on a Monday. And so then I was thinking, well, my, it would be nice to have this open, this glass area open there at least at 7 o'clock in the morning to let me in. But anyway, that was what I was thinking about. And I feel that, and of course, the wheelchair driver, van driver, was standing there with me while waiting. Nobody to let us in there at all. Well, then people starting to go in by the steps. Way I call to them and ask them to come around and let me in. And so that depends upon how agile they are and how long it takes. So what I was asking for was, I was thinking, that opening at 7 in the morning sounds pretty good compared to no opening at all. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Ann Barkley. And I'm going to keep this very short because, in fact, the woman who's last resident of one of the apartment buildings covered all of my points. What I want to talk about briefly, though, is change management, which is really your job. We're in a very fast-growing city, and the region around us is growing as well. We're also becoming a city which is noted internationally, and people are visiting here from all over the country and internationally. Managing the change that Portland is seeing today is a tough job. And part of it takes into consideration what will be lost as change is made and how we accommodate those who are dispossessed, either emotionally or in reality. There are a lot tougher questions before you these days than how we have access to the Art Museum. But this I hope you will remember. Change is hard. Because people overestimate the value of what they have. And they underestimate the value of what they may gain by giving up on resistance. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Sylvia Lurie. I'm in my 11th year as a docent at the Portland Art Museum, leading student tours and adult tours. And for the past 10 years, I've been involved with our program to provide monthly tours for people who are blind or visually impaired. And so we have like 10 of those a year, plus some special tours for the Washington State School for the Blind and other organizations serving the blind. In all of those years, I think I can count on the fingers of one hand how many times we have taken a group into the contemporary galleries, because it's just too hard. It takes too long. It's too many elevators, too many stairs. You've got to shepherd a group of 12, 15, 20 line people, and it's just really not worth it. We focus our efforts on the galleries we can reach easily. I've listened to what has been said, and I'm shocked to think that people would characterize the Portland Art Museum as a wealthy private organization. This is the most civic-minded, public-oriented organization imaginable. There's thousands of people involved in providing service to the public, usually for nothing. Usually it's volunteers. They're donating money and time. They live all over the area, which brings up my second point, which is, what is our neighborhood? You know, I feel like the administration has tried very hard to accommodate the wishes and needs of the neighbors. They think it's important, and I agree. But our neighborhood is the whole city. It's actually the whole region. We draw thousands of students from all over, not just from the streets around the museum. We draw volunteers from all over. We draw adult visitors from all over. I've had kids from Japan coming in on the plane who came to the museum first. I've had students from Redmond and many other places. So I'll finish by saying we have to think about changing in order to accommodate a changing Portland. And our arts, culture here are a big part of the draw that makes this city valuable. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you.
The next three are Louisa Geyer, Joan Kirsch, and Bruce Morrison, and they'll be followed by Dan Webb, Elizabeth Lincoln, and Shannon Kramer.
Hello, my name is Louisa Geyer. Thank you for the opportunity to express my support of Portland Art Museum's request to change the ordinance governing Southwest Madison Street passageway so that the museum can build an enclosed structure that would join both buildings. I'm here as a resident of Portland and a museum member, and I was also on staff at the Portland Art Museum from 2010 to 2015. I believe this expansion is an extension of the museum's unwavering efforts to welcome and engage as many visitors as possible. From the very first days when Brian Fariza arrived at PAM and he would greet visitors at the door and introduce himself, to the appointment of the museum's first director of education and outreach, to the many exhibitions, lectures, and events that invite audiences of all ages to the museum, to providing free admission for children under 17 and opportunities for all to visit the museum for free. The Portland Art Museum has tirelessly dedicated the past decade to adapting as needed to serve all visitors. I believe the museum's expansion plans are aligned with their belief that the arts must be economically, intellectually, and physically accessible to all. The museum's expansion would improve all visitors' experiences by providing access to all the museum's galleries and spaces. That is not currently the case. This expansion is long due and will provide fulfilling experiences for our entire community. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Sarah Lampin, and Joan Kirsch, who is meant to be next, had to leave early, so she asked for me to read her statement for her. So this letter is from Joan Kirsch, who is a docent at the Portland Art Museum. Dear Mayor Wheeler and commissioners, while the passageway between museum buildings seems necessary and practical, there are also other advantages for the museum and for the experiences of the public. People walking through the free corridor will certainly get a glimpse of the museum and whatever paintings and sculptures are nearby. Perhaps not on a rush day, but another day that quick look will tempt someone, plus friends, actually to enter the museum proper, so easily accessible. So many museums give a potential visitor a chance for a quick look right from the street into a large lobby as an invitation to stay. That could be a function of a passageway. For example, the lobby at MoMA in New York often serves as a throughway between 54th and 53rd Streets. Free to be sure, but an encouragement to stay and pay. For people a bit shy or intimidated by a museum, such an easy exposure and entrance could very well bring the Portland Art Museum into greater connection with our community, and a day to get off the street and out of the rain. As a Portland Art Museum docent of long-standing and committed to the community value of the arts in Portland, I would appreciate your consideration of my views in making your decisions. Thank you. Sincerely, Joan Kirsch.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Bruce Morrison. I'd like to thank the mayor and the commissioners for their service to the city. I'm here in support of the museum's Madison Street request. As Oregon Public Broadcasting and many of the preceding speakers have made clear, the current museum campus is a Frankenstein of a facility. You know, we don't need to speak for the problems. They speak for themselves. I believe that the Rothko Pavilion would greatly improve access both to the museum and within the museum, as previous speakers have outlined. It would also provide a great deal more capacity for community events, educational events, and exhibits. To my mind, we would be trading a little inconvenience, that is, restricting the passage on Madison between 11 and 7 a.m., for a wealth of improved access and better service to the community. There's no free lunch, but I think that this is a good trade. You know, our hometown is growing, thank goodness, and our museum needs to grow with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next three, please.
Are Dan Webb, Elizabeth Lincoln, and Shannon Kramer. And they'll be followed by Ann Barkley, Heather Bovey, I believe it is, and Larry Cross.
Good afternoon. Could you, why don't you start us off?
Good afternoon. My name is Dan Webb. I was in the space yesterday where the Rothko Pavilion would be constructed and thinking about someone entering that space, and instead of looking straight ahead as they proceeded on to the street, looking to the left or looking to the right into what I believe will be an inviting space that is going to be more successful engaging people with the museum who haven't been there before. I was thinking of that. The quote by Annie Dillard, "I was a bell, but I did not know it until I was lifted and struck." There is the experience of something resonating within us that is so important, and it is so important to strategize to bring people into that building to have that experience. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Lincoln, and I'd like to read a letter that I've previously sent to the mayor and the commissioners, and I'd like to take a moment to thank Commissioner Fritz for her very speedy reply. Dear Mayor Wheeler and City Commissioners, I'm writing in support of the proposed pavilion addition and renovations to the Portland Art Museum, including the requested change to the ordinance governing the Southwest Madison Street passageway. As a docent of over 8 years at the museum, I'm keenly aware of the need to make our institution more accessible to all visitors. School children arriving for their free school tours, as well as other guests, must often wait outdoors in inclement weather until the doors of the museum open because we have no protected space for them. As has been said, once inside, visitors often puzzle over how to get from one side of the museum to the other. Our cobbled-together floor plan, along with an inconvenient stair and elevator configuration, is dauntingly confusing, even for those of us who've worked here for years. We've outgrown our space and the make-do solutions of previous generations to these structural difficulties. PAM Director Brian Fariso, as well as all of us at the museum, are heeding the call made by the greater community to provide more complete and safe access to the museum in terms of both the physical space and museum programming. PAM is providing a wide range of programs and budget-friendlier options to the greater Portland community, and I won't go into the long list. We truly seek to be a welcoming place for all Portlanders. CES Wood, one of the legendary figures in Portland civic history and also a key founder of the Art Museum, once remarked that, quote, "the citizens are the riches of the city," end quote. I would suggest that the Portland Art Museum is another of the city's riches, a civic treasure located right in the heart of the park blocks downtown. Please allow the museum to continue its mission of becoming the best civic and arts center it can possibly be by approving whatever measures are necessary. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor, can I just clarify
Please,
something?
Commissioner Fish.
It's the unofficial policy of this council that when we get emails, we forward them to Commissioner Fritz's office for a response.
Good to know. Thank you.
And she stays up late to answer them, but I just want to point that out.
At least one of us was raised right, so that's the good news. Good afternoon.
One out of four is not a great ratio, guys.
Not very.
My name is Shannon Kramer. I'm a new docent at the Art Museum. So full disclosure, definitely I'm biased. But I would ask us, especially you on the council, the commissioners, to think about the purpose of the museum and the wider community and the purpose of curating change when it comes to change in Portland. Downtown is not necessarily relevant for people my generation. We don't come down here to hang out. We're not using that open public space. It is not somewhere that is currently vibrant and relevant for the future. The thing you are editing that made this private property that has public access and part of its purpose is 50-plus years old and has achieved its purpose of a walkable downtown. So the idea that one block improved for the greater good and for better access and education for the public to see what we have in the museum, I'm sorry, but it's a fallacy. We are one of the most walkable cities in the entire nation. So I implore you to think about the general purpose of the museum and what Rothko Pavilion, what the name that means more to people who don't even know anything about art, they've heard the name Rothko, what that could do for Portland as a city and what it could do for a vibrant downtown and a safer downtown and a place that rains 8 months out of the year. You know? I really have nothing else to say besides let's look at the wider picture and not be pulled down by those who are using conjecture about future malice from the museum to validate their own feelings. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. Next three, please.
The next three are Heather Beauvais, Larry Cross, and Mary Chapin. And they'll be followed by Ted Chillis, Joanne Perry Mueller, and Judith Thompson Snyder.
Good afternoon.
Hi. Thank you for listening today. I am here testifying today. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Heather Boucher, and I am a staff member at the Portland Art Museum. I have the honor to take care of the art on a daily basis. And so I'm here to testify today to provide support for the submitted pavilion proposal. As someone who has repeatedly witnessed the challenges that are present for visitors with and without disabilities, this project will allow improved access to the galleries and educational programs. Currently, galleries are severed from each other by being in two completely separate buildings, creating a challenging maze for anyone who visits. I cannot even fathom how unwelcoming this institution must be for those visitors who require access by not using stairs. As someone who works hard to make sure Pam's art is properly cared for so it is available to the public, it is disheartening to witness comments and frustrations from my community members who have little to no desire to visit because they believe this place is not for them, whether it be access issues or the stigma that this place is for other people. Pam has been working hard over the past few years to work towards change, and I firmly believe this institution can achieve those goals. Currently, the Portland Art Museum is in the extensive process of equity and inclusion developments that will greatly change and shape its future, both internally and externally. Allowing this project to move forward is a major part of these planned improvements. As the Art Museum looks to become more inclusive and equitable to our communities, adequate spaces are required to hold successful events and educational opportunities. As the exhibition schedule and educational programs have been modified over the years to attempt to meet the community needs, it has become abundantly clear that structural improvements are necessary. These spaces currently do not exist or have reached maximum capacity. By listening to the community through one-on-one conversations, I believe this institution has come with a viable plan that will bring new opportunities. I'm excited for communities to experience improved gallery spaces, which means improved spaces for the art.
Donors throughout PAM's history have trusted us with their donations of art, and we need to continue that level of trust.
Can I just ask you a question about this, Madam Mayor?
Please, Commissioner.
Yes. One of the interesting emails I received was about the concern that in the current depiction, there's a lot of glass in all four floors there. Isn't that light bad for art?
It is. And from my understanding, we will be limiting what art, if any, is exposed in that facility. If you remember from Brian's drawings, the new galleries that will be added are on the, one gallery is on the end, and others will be modified that currently exist that will improve those spaces. I'm not sure what art, if any, will go in that glass space for that very reason, because light and UV exposure is very damaging to some art.
Yeah, so would that maybe result in, I know you haven't gone through the design yet and you're not part of the design team.
No.
I hope that you and other experts will be informing that process should this go forward.
I know for a fact.
Because the current depiction of it's all glass, you know, like the glass palace, crystal palaces we had in England, would not be good for art underneath levels, would it?
No, not at all. And I know for a fact that there have been collaborative discussions regarding that very topic from the beginning.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're here because all these important people heard you, and I hope they'll include you in the planning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Mary Weaver Chapin, and like Heather, I am a staff member at the Portland Art Museum. And I can assure you, Commissioner Fritz, that Brian has a full staff of very passionate and opinionated people telling him exactly where to put the art. So I consider myself part of that team.
Excellent. I won't worry about it anymore.
I have worked at major museums throughout the country, at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, at the Chicago's famous Art Institute, and also at the Milwaukee Art Museum. That makes me a veteran of several museum expansion and renovation projects. And the reason I want to speak to you today is that I think this one is really different for a key reason. This isn't a vanity project to boost a director's career, to help a chief curator find his or her next position, or to satisfy an egotistic donor. This is a fix-it solution. And I think the fact that when Brian was trying to think through some of these designs, he turned to an architecture firm that is perhaps the most egoless firm imaginable. They are not there to make their own names. They are there to really serve the public in a sensitive and thoughtful manner. I feel it's important to mention that as well, because I think the aims of this are very, very pure, and I'm saddened to hear some people refer to it as a bait and switch. I believe that the proposal establishes thoughtful and reasonable access for both our immediate neighbors as well as for those who travel throughout the Northwest to reach the museum. As a curator, I have to think not only about the art that's on the wall today, but is it going to be preserved and accessible to our public in 10 years or 20 years, or I like to think in 100-year blocks? And I would urge you, as you consider all these opinions, to also think long-term. Think about not just discomfort of today or tomorrow, but where do we need to go as a city, not just for those of us here in the room, but for the hundreds of thousands of people who will come in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler. My name is Larry Cross. I'm a person with a disability. I am also a commissioner on the Portland Commission on Disability. But like Angel, I'm speaking for myself, not the commission. This museum expansion greatly excites me because I and thousands of other people will be able to more fully enjoy and appreciate the museum and its treasures. I'm unifying the two existing structures by building the Rothko Pavilion, which I think should be viewed as a Rothko connection. It's connecting these buildings. And it will create one seamless museum campus, dramatically increasing the accessibility and visitability of the museum. And I'm going to divert from what I wrote. I've heard a lot of architectural design begins with schematic design, design development, then you have the construction documents. It's my understanding that the museum is not even yet at the schematic design, as we've seen today. I think that first floor is still in flux. I think I'm hearing it's closed off. It's not closed off. It really hasn't been designed yet. And I think that's very important. But I think it's really important to look at the long view of this museum expansion. That's what's important to me. This physical flow will exponentially improve. The seamless level connections between the buildings will eliminate the present Sherlock Holmes requirement of getting to and from the Jubits. The campaign connections will allow the museum to expand its programming, increase its inclusion, encourage new attendees, not only local, but national and international visitors, and make the museum an exceptional example of universal design. I encourage the council to amend the ordinance and allow the Rothko Pavilion or Connection and the Connections campaign, which was basically started by an anonymous donor, not David Geffen, to improve this, have this be built. So the museum expansion will maximize accessibility to broaden this audience available to everybody, one word, and everybody, two words. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks. Next three, please.
Ted Chillis, Joanne Perry Mueller, and we're going to go with Ted Smith. And they'll be followed by Judith Thompson Schneider, Richard Lowenshone, and Anthony Fell.
Hi, I'm Joanne Perry Mueller, and I have been active with the Portland Art Museum as a volunteer for over 20 years, and I schlep in all the way from Banks, Oregon, about 25 miles west, which is a little different than most of the people sitting in this room. I have read about the courtyard between the two buildings being designated as an open space or pass-through for the neighborhood many years ago. But since then, the Masonic Temple was remodeled to allow expansion of the museum. And with that expansion, there was never a good way to reach one building from the other. I gave many tours, and that is close to 500 tours, to people from young childhood to senior citizen age, and it was extremely cumbersome to have to go down the stairs and back up the stairs on the other side and going through the passageway down below. Because people with disabilities often had to use the elevator, it took an extremely extra amount of time for them to have to go down to the basement and then up again on the other side. So I hope that our lovely museum, which is such a delightful educational and inspirational destination for the citizens of Portland, metropolitan area, the state, other parts of our country and the world, because I had gave many tours to people from other countries, can be allowed to expand its mission to introduce people to the richness of its collections in a more professional and accessible way by creating this lovely connection. Since the current proposal thoughtfully includes meeting the needs of the neighborhood residents by allowing the courtyard to continue being used as a pass-through, and I can't visualize how not having a connection on the main ground level really improves the situation. I think that that's very important. But in addition to the logistics of moving around the museum, I just want to mention that I think we do need an improvement to the beauty of the front and rear views of our museum, and I think that this pavilion does it. And inside that glass pavilion, I believe that sculptures and rotating art is perfectly reasonable to anticipate. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi. I have put before you a...
What's your name?
Excuse me. My name's Ted Chillis. I am a retired architect. I prepared for you some documents and so that you can see. I am a PAM neighbor, longtime member. I'm excited about the new expansion. However, the design of the pavilion eliminates the pedestrian walkway. The major change would damage the fabric of our neighborhood. Yes, I'm a retired architect practicing 40 years in Portland. I'm familiar with the urban fabric. My current concern is PAM is ignoring our neighborhood. In 1987, I designed University Park a few blocks away. In 1997, I designed St. James Apartments, which are across the street from the Art Museum. Both of these buildings respected the neighborhood. I stopped yesterday and asked myself, why won't the pedestrian way be preserved? Why won't PAM respect its neighbors and the easement that dates from 1968? I bring to you a solution to the problem which will make everyone happy. First, look at the physical conditions and levels of the two buildings I did yesterday. It is possible to leave the pedestrian pathway and form a bridge over the walkway. It is essentially forming a tunnel through the building. The size would be 21 feet wide, which is the existing width of the walkway today, and 9 feet high. I excuse the audience for not being able to see my exhibits. The first exhibit shows a view from the east side where the existing walkway is today. It remained at the same level all the way through the building. Looking at exhibit 2, from the west side of the building, you'll see the walkway continuing through the building. And finally, there's a section between the two buildings, the north building and the south building. It shows where the passageway is. It does not stop visitors in the museum getting from one side of the building to the other. There's a 7-foot rise, but the visitors walking through the building will automatically have to go upstairs or an elevator. This is no different. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your time and expertise of showing the pictures of how this could work. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Ted Smith, and first of all, I want to say three Teds in a room. I'm excited. I've never been in a room that had three Teds.
You know, that is true.
It's getting too confusing. We'll call him Edward.
You know, the thing that's interesting is Ted is becoming such a rare name, it's going to be retro cool pretty soon. I'm convinced of it.
Dream on.
So I'm cool.
Yes, sir.
You're cool.
You're cool. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. My name is Ted Smith. I work for the Portland Art Museum. I've been there for 10 years. I work for security there. And so I'm going to talk about something completely different. We've talked about the art and the benefits to the museum and its collection. But I want to talk about our neighborhood. I've been there 10 years, and I've worked with the neighbors and all around it because we share the same space. And things happen. And I've had to be a part of trying to resolve issues that happen out there because we have the park, we have people walking, we have medical issues, we have criminal issues, we have all kinds of issues. And then security and being in that area there, I have to be conscious of our neighbors and what's going on constantly. Why I'm for this is that enclosure. It gives us a chance to be a true part of the neighborhood. I've talked to the director, Brian, and really what I want to do is for us to be a part of that neighborhood watch. We try to work with the law enforcement. The extended hours that we have gives us, the staff, our security staff, a chance to actually do more for the neighborhood past our closing hours. We do it now after hours when people get hurt and they have a place to go to. We are that sanctuary. I like to believe that the museum itself is a sanctuary for not only the neighborhood but the entire city. On the wall, when you go to the Mark Building, a lot of people walk by it and they don't notice it. It says, and I see it every day, erected to God and dedicated to the service of humanity. That is what we're here for. So that enclosure gives accessibility not only to first responders, but also in the event of a disaster. And we've seen it happening across the country. It's happened. We need places where people can seek shelter. The enclosure gives us accessible shelter for everybody in the area. Working with the first responders, we have the footage, a square space, two ballrooms. We can support the community in the event of a disaster. And I've been working with our department and the director about being good neighbors. And like I said, I've been there 10 years, and I've tried to be a good neighbor, just me and all of our staff have tried to do that. And that's why I'm for the pavilion. What it does is it gives us a safe place, a sanctuary for the community as well as the people in that city.
Very good. And I'd love to connect you with our Portland Bureau of Emergency Management Director, because we are always looking for institutional partners in the community around emergency resilience. So thank you for suggesting that. Commissioner Fritz?
And I hope you too will be invited, and others on the security staff will be invited to submit comments on the design of the renovations, because clearly with all this priceless artwork around, if you had an emergency situation, you wouldn't want everybody to have access to that. So there needs to be a safe, secure space as well as two-way
yes.
So I hope you've been involved in that. Thank you for your
yes,
testimony.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks, all three of you. Next three, please.
Are Judith Thompson-Snyder, Richard Lowenstone, and Anthony Fell, and they'll be followed by Diane Lowenstone, Susan Bliss, and Laura D. Foster.
Good afternoon. Sir, would you like to start?
I'll start.
Thank you.
We are Judy Schneider and Richard Lowenson, and we are reading two halves of testimony on behalf of Jeff Wren, Mayor and Commissioners. I am writing to express my opposition.
Okay, too loud. That sounds better, too. Thank you. I am writing to express my opposition to the council granting an amendment to the existing city ordinance governing the Madison Passageway and to permitting the Portland Art Museum to build its proposed Rothko Pavilion in such a manner as to block the passageway. I would present my comments in person at today's council meeting, but I am unable to do that because of my work obligations. PAM is representing that construction of the Rothko Pavilion will involve sensitivity to the disabled and those with strollers. PAM also now says that it will agree to permit those with bicycles and pets to cross through the pavilion. Further, PAM suggests that the pavilion will be a new gathering space for the public. These claims do not add up. While it is feasible to permit members of the public to cross through the pavilion lobby, mere feasibility does not equal real access. Anyone deigning to cross through the lobby will have to attend to two sets of doors, dodge users of the pavilion, and become the focus of museum patrons. Far from enabling the disabled ready access, forcing them through the pavilion would have the effect of making them objects of attention. The council should not be in the business of imposing obstacles on those who merely want to go from one block to the other. If the council feels compelled to impose such obstacles, the least it should do is include in the ordinance the bike and pet owner access PAM says it would grant. The current proposed ordinance appears to give PAM carte blanche to deny access at its whim.
As for the idea that the Rothko Pavilion would be a new gathering space, I would hope the council grasps the hollowness of this claim. One must ask, really, are people going to gather in a lobby space? The existing open Madison Passageway is well used by people to eat lunch, play music, stroll, and sit while enjoying its openness. These uses contribute directly to the quality of life in Portland. The pavilion would all but end them. There are aesthetic reasons to deny PAM the required ordinance amendment. I will not belabor reasons having to do with the pavilion design itself, other than to say that the design PAM has unveiled is a masterwork of mediocrity. But the council should recognize that Portland has gained a national, if not international, reputation for its downtown livability, and that livability has much to do with the fact that our city blocks are small and human-sized. Permitting PAM to build the proposed Rothko Pavilion would transform the existing pair of human-sized blocks into a super block that would hulk over the South Park blocks as a bastion of elitism. Our city's reputation would suffer as a result. There is no need for a superblock. PAM could join the existing museum structures with a skybridge structure. This has been done to great effect by other museums. Skybridge would enhance access by the public while providing an aesthetically compelling addition to the block. While I am not an architect or engineer, it seems likely that a skybridge structure would better protect art than the proposed pavilion. The opening and closing of access doors would cause constant temperature and humidity changes. Finally, I would ask that Council give serious consideration to the fact that PAM has advanced the Rothko Pavilion and requested an amendment of the existing ordinance without involving community partners. PAM's attitude throughout has been that of entitlement and indifference to the interests of those who live in the cultural district and beyond. To now grant PAM the amendment to the existing ordinance and build its proposed pavilion would reward a major Portland institution for engaging in a planning process utterly antithetical to what Portland stands for. PAM effectively is asking the Council to disregard its duty to the public at large. The Council should respectfully deny that request. Thank you for consideration of these points. Jeff Wren.
Very good.
Super timing. Well,
thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm Anthony Fell. I'm the owner of Toys and More store at Lloyd Center Mall, but I'm a 15-year volunteer for Potluck in the Park. For those of you who are not familiar with Potluck in the Park, we provide meals for 26 years to homeless in O'Brien Square. Lately, we've been moved to underneath the Hawthorne Bridge, but hope to return to O'Brien Square. For those of you who don't know what goes on, but the Portland Art Museum has let us use for the past 5 years their main ballroom to host the largest Christmas dinner in all of Portland. We feed 1,500 homeless people in the beautiful ballroom with statues, and our guests really love it. Next door to the ballroom, basically, is the area in question. We tent it over during that meal to provide a heating area and waiting area for our guests. By putting this pavilion up, will facilitate us, basically, when we do the potluck meal, facilitate us to basically avoid paying $5,000 worth of tents that we put up in that area. We really support this addition to the museum and want to praise the museum. They have really, really helped us out, and the community, and our guests, that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We appreciate it. I've had a request for those of you testifying next, if we could slow down the pace just a bit. The closed captioning people are having a little bit of troubles keeping up, so just slightly slower. Thank you. Thank you all for your testimony.
The next three are Diane Lowenshone, Susan Bliss, and Laura D. Foster, and they'll be followed by Mary Vogel, Mary C. Hinckley, and Donald Jenkins.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Diane Lowenson, and I'm a downtown cultural district homeowner, condo owner. I'm also a longtime PAM member, supporter, donor. I've served on a former Art Council board for PAM. I, too, long for a beautiful new glass space to house the Rothko Pavilion, and to join the two buildings. In addition, I volunteered as a guide for more than 10 years to school-age children for a nonprofit that gives two-hour walking tours downtown. We talk to the children about the history, public art, and architecture of downtown. One of the things I did in every single one of my tours was to stress the importance of the 200-square-foot block. We forget, unless we're the crows flying around in the sky, that Portland is a web of little tiny squares that are 200 feet square. What's interesting is that it was platted this way to give more corner space to retail spaces and offices. This was back in the pre-electric light age when that was really important. But some of the unintended consequences of that have been grand vistas, a more intimate setting, and it's been one of our gifts. I don't know how this wound up being a them against us discussion, but it has from the very beginning, and I fault both sides on that. We both should have reached out because this needs to be a win-win situation. I sincerely believe that an 8 to 10 foot wide open breezeway
would keep PAM from being that visual and actual super block in downtown Portland. There's only one other one, and that's Big Pink that they built. They provide 24/7 access through that super block, which is two blocks being combined, and they do that year-round. That was a requirement on a very similar easement change. We lived as a young family of four in the Netherlands without a car, with young children. We did that because of good urban planning, and we lived on bicycles. It was a climate similar to Portland. You want more pedestrian travel. You want fewer cars. Keep that 200 square block goal. It's very important.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Laura Foster. I'm the author of 7 guidebooks about exploring Portland and nearby communities on foot. My books are Portland Hill Walks, the Portland Stairs books, and a few others. I also lead walking tours for the Portland Bureau of Transportation and for nonprofits and other entities. The Portland Art Museum, it's a beloved institution, but it is just one of many places that make Portland a unique and creative mecca and a destination for urban explorers. Our urban streets are one of our city's greatest treasures. On them, the city and its citizens display our creativity. These common spaces, our streets, bind us. Whether we're liberal or conservative, they are, like the Benson Bubblers or our many neighborhood parks, part of our beloved civic heritage. We, the citizens of this generation, are stewards of these spaces for the generations that come after us. Our streets, or easements in this case, are not up for grabs by the nearest cultural institution. The Portland Art Museum's stated intention to build walls across this common space seems unthinkable to me. The glass walls do not invite passage. They convey privilege. They are not open 24/7 as any city street is. They have walls and doors, two things which, by definition, denote exclusivity. Other cities provide excellent examples that could be adapted to this site to allow unimpeded grade-level passage. Can you imagine a visitor to Portland, or a person with a handicap, or a parent pushing a stroller laden with kid and gear, seeing this glass wall from Park or 10th, rather than go investigate to see if the passage is free and flows through, they would turn and walk the much longer way around either the main building or the Mark building. How is that, as the museum argues, an improvement to accessibility? The perception that walls and doors give is private property, the very opposite of a public space. I urge you to hear Portlanders in our opposition to this use of a public right-of-way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Laura, can I just make one comment?
Sure. Thank you.
First of all, thank you for coming in. And I gave my son, my then 12, the Portland Stairs book for Christmas last year.
Glad to hear it.
I said it that we were going to together discover all the stairs in your book. And I have a confession. We're a little behind. But it is a terrific book.
Thank you.
And we hope to discover many more.
I appreciate hearing that.
Good afternoon.
Hello, I'm Susan Bliss, and the Art Museum is my neighbor across 10th Avenue. In Washington, D.C., I spent 24 years at the Smithsonian Institution as a press officer during an unprecedented period of institutional growth. During construction of the Smithsonian's Sackler Gallery, devoted to Asian art, I served as the gallery's director of public affairs, briefing the press and public on its construction and design. In this capacity, I observed the sometimes lengthy but often rewarding give and take between museum personnel and the architects. Once completed, no museum exactly replicated the original drawings, but thoughtful back and forth brought all parties to compromises that met most everyone's needs. Negotiations over building design and function were anticipated elements of the building process. So it's hard to see why Portland's museum, with its need for additional space, clearer signage, and accessibility for visitors and staff, still refuses to ask for design changes that could bring the community solidly to its side. A second-level sky bridge, for example, might be considered, leaving Madison Street open to car-free traffic, as mandated by city ordinance. But the museum chose to let its contract without consulting an important constituency. We who live down the street or across the river, we who ride bikes, use wheelchairs, walk dogs, or lug vegetables from the farmers market, we want to support the museum, but cannot accept a glass-barricaded thoroughfare or a double cul-de-sac when the museum is closed. We sought discussion with the museum on these issues when they announced their plans. The museum did not respond to our concerns, and we still can't grasp their refusal to engage in discussion of the project prior to asking for changes to the city ordinance. I urge the City Council to keep Madison unencumbered and the museum to offer their designers a shot at addressing important community needs.
Thank you. And perfect timing. Next three, please.
Are Mary Vogel, Mary C. Hinckley, and Donald Jenkins. And they'll be followed by Bryce Lilly, Deidre Hall, and Jackie Willingham.
I'm Mary Vogel.